Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners. No prisoners. 1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner, broker here at Daniels Trading, author of Turner's Take newsletter. You can find me on Twitter at Turner's Take or at turnerstake.com. If you're a farmer, check out turnerstakeag.com. But yeah, you can reach me here in the show notes. My number is 800-958-9470. And you can, if you just went to turnerstake.com, you can find all my info there. We work with online traders, broker-assisted, managed futures, speculators, hedgers, lots of farmers, commercial and retail accounts, just about anything you can see here at in the futures and commodity market. So let's dive into it. We're going to talk grains on primarily in this podcast. There's not a whole lot going on right now in the energies, and I think we're going to talk later in the week, about livestock. So, especially with the big USDA reports coming up and some of our thoughts on the grain markets here, I really want to dive into that. Let's start off with corn. December corn tonight is at about 378. We're finally seeing a little bit of a bounce. After we got up to, about 405, 408. In corn a couple of weeks ago, here in the beginning of June. Here we are at the end of June, June 27th, in the overnight right now, which would be a part of trade date, the 28th. We're at 378, and we're finding some support. Now, I've been on the radio a lot and talking to people and doing these podcasts, writing these letters, and I think that we are going to see this beat until this crop is made and we really know what the yields are. We're going to see support for December corn in this area, this 375, 380 area. And it's because we're probably going to see on Friday acres come down a little bit for corn. I was talking to farmers in Indiana today, and they were saying a lot of soybeans got planted late. They're still planting soybeans now because they didn't get all the corn in. And corn acres that should have been replanted never got replanted. Now, I know that's just parts of central Indiana, but I've been hearing quite a few of those stories, also in southern Illinois and parts of Missouri too. Would not be surprised to see 90 million and a little bit more on the soybean acres. Wouldn't be surprised closer to 89 million on the corn acres when we see that report on Friday. And if that's the case, then 82 million acres of corn will be harvested, give or take. I think the yields are going to come down a little bit. We're still looking at some good weather for the next week or two. Let's say week. When you get past into the 10-day area, the weather starts to look hot and dry. They're talking about a high-pressure ridge forming. And anyone who remembers high-pressure ridges back from 2012 knows that if we have hot and dry weather during that ridge, it could stay around for a while and be harmful to crops. Now, the ridge in 2012 was extreme, but still some more, even if the ridge only lasts a couple of days or maybe a week, and we get some continued hot and dry weather over most of the Midwest, it could continue to hurt yield a little bit on especially the corn crop and probably wheat and, spring wheat and the soybeans too. So I think we're going to find some support in corn here. There's a couple of things I've been doing. First, we'll talk about the hedgers and the farmers. Right about now, we're going to start. I've already started calling farming clients and just saying, wouldn't be surprised if we got another weather rally. As soon as these weather rallies stop, and who knows where that may be, 390, 395, we're going to be range bound probably between that, just around $4 area down to 360. We're going to probably produce as much corn as. as we use this year, so we're not going to have real draw on stocks. We'll probably have 1.9 or 1.8 billion in the carryout, I would think, by the end of the year. And then we're just going to have to see what happens with South America. So in my mind, if we get up to $4 again, that's when you got to start thinking, how much corn are you going to? No one ever prices all their corn. I don't even pretend to even ask or expect farmers to do it anymore. So what worked for us really well last year was selling covered calls on corn in storage. So any old crop that farmers still have left, and then you add the new crop that they haven't marketed yet, we're going to probably take 10, 15, 20% of that production and start selling covered calls on it. Now, I was looking at, things going out a month or two, maybe something out of the money you can only get 10 or 15 cents for, but it's better than nothing. And, we did this strategy, oh, September, October, November, into January last year, and maybe did it maybe three times, probably had three cycles on that, and was able to collect about 30 to 40 cents per bushel doing that as we got into harvest. So, you know what? The premiums on corn aren't a ton, but it was a way for farmers to, add. I mean, if you can add 20 or 25 cents to your final sales price just by selling, call options and covered call options, where you actually have the grain in the bin, and just in case the price goes against you, we can always just sell the corn and cover the call. But in years where we have this tight range and we're, in the high threes, that extra 20 or 30 cents can really help by the end of the marketing year. So that is something that, I know we're just in the end of June here, but it's something we have to start thinking about because we could have some summer rallies here in July, maybe even August. But after that, traditionally it's done. And we gotta, and I don't see South America really cutting back on acres. They're not, and I don't see the US heavily drawing back on acres next year either. Now it could, but if that happens, that'll be more of a later 2018 type deal. What it probably means is we're going to probably have this chop, this range of prices, let's call it 350, 360 up to $4 for new crop corn. And we can take advantage of that. And speculators too. I mean, if you're a speculator and you like option income strategies, I would take a look at corn. I mean, if corn gets up into the fours, maybe you're selling call spreads because you don't have the cash corn, so I wouldn't just sell the naked call on it. But maybe look at selling call spreads. And then if we get down to the 370, 360 area, actually around here, maybe a little lower, start looking at selling put spreads. I actually wouldn't even mind selling puts below the market in these corn if it gets low enough, just because, if, I mean, 350 corn, 360 corn, if you sell some, you sell a future and it gets in the money, you gotta take futures. I don't see a huge deal about being long futures at 350 or 360 because you sold a put or something like that down there. So I don't know. That's just kind of where I'm leaning with corn. I will say a couple things here on the, even if I think we're gonna have lower production on corn, but also gonna have a little bit lower exports, just because there is a lot of South American corn. We are using a lot of corn for feed though, so that's been really nice, and we've seen some good export demand for corn. So I think 2018 can be a bullish year for corn. I don't think this year can be. Is going to be bullish unless something crazy happens with the weather. I think for the rest of the year, we're probably going to chop and we're going to be range bound, most likely, until we really know how many acres South America plants. But until then, I think we're range bound. They're going to play that market accordingly. And we'll, farmers who need to make cash sales will just wait for rallies to the top of the range of the trading range. And for those who just want to hold the corn but might want to collect some premium on the corn every month or so, we'll sell some covered calls for the rest of 2017 until, we get into 2018. Then we'd probably stop that, just because then South American risks, weather risk can happen. But that'll be it. I mean, it's gonna be kind of boring with corn here. I think if you like ranges and like premium selling, it could be interesting. Also, if you like bear spreading futures, I like that SEP March bear spread. I've been running about that at about 18 or 19 cent carry or 20 cent carry. I like it just because I just don't see corn going through the roof here. It's gonna, unless we get some kind of serious weather event, in July or something like that. But if not, we're probably just going to leak lower between now and the end of August on that spread and just building and carry. And, you know, it's probably a low margin. The margin's probably $150, but, you know, we can go from 20 cent carry to 30 cent carry in SEP first March. And something that you could probably just trade and not really pay attention, you know, not have to pay attention to every day just because it doesn't move that fast. So that's my thoughts on corn. 189 million acres, 82 harvested, 167 yield gets us a lower production, but we're going to have a little bit lower use. Probably have ending stocks be just under 2.2 billion, so let's call it 1.9, be conservative. And corn chops between $3.50 and $4. That's, you know, that's just doesn't sound exciting. That's just how we see it, and we'll market it and trade it accordingly until something changes. So that's where we're looking at now, and that's what I'll be writing about. We'll probably be writing more about these ideas this week and next week. So take a look at Turner's Take for that. Had a lot of questions about soybeans. Soybeans is my least favorite commodity right now in the grain complex. We're going to have a lot of soybean acres. The yields are looking better in soybeans than they are in corn and wheat. So we're saying 47, probably 48 yield, national yield on soybeans right now, unless we get some real weather issues. 90 million harvest planted means 89 or 88 million harvested. It's a lot of beans. I still have carry out somewhere between 450 and 500 million projected for new crop. And to me, that just means soybean prices eventually in the high eights and low nines, unless something happens big in Brazil or China just starts buying beans up left and right. But I just, South America had a big crop. United States had a big crop. We're still expanding acres for soybeans. So, yeah, it's the bearish of the bunch. I like selling rallies. I've been telling farmers that, you know, we have this big trend line. If we get back up to that 950 again, a new crop, you know, where we're hugging that trend line again, you know, you have beans, you got to make sales. You don't want to hold them for 6 months to a year, sell them. I think that's just kind of the way to go for a marketing course. If you're a speculator, maybe you're playing this range. I mean, now we're towards the bottom of the range. Maybe try to ride it up and see if we fail at resistance and ride it back down. I think that eventually the next leg will drop in soybeans. You know, if we do get that 48 yield and we're pushing 500 on the bushels, on the carryout, you know, we could be in the mid to high eights. So that's definitely a reality. That certainly could happen. And without a weather issue, and I know farmers have been talking about selling calls to collect some premium bushels. Yeah, on a rally on 20 or 30 cents from here, as long as there's no real destruction in the country on the soybean yields, I still kind of like it. So that's kind of a little bit more touch and go, where timing really comes into it. So if you are a client of mine or thinking about it, give me a call before you do something like that, when you're dealing with short soybean options, I think of all the commodities, that one's probably the most one to try to time the best. Turning over to wheat, Minneapolis wheat continues to be the big mover. Take a look at September wheat. Minneapolis wheat, we've gone from about $5.40 to almost $7 here in 2 months. We are still bull spread. The wheat market, along that March, May, when we had serious shortages of that last time, I think we went out to $7. I don't think that's going to happen. But, you know, when we had, and that was 2007 and 8, when Australia crop failed and the U.S. had failures too, back to back. 2011, this might be, I look at the 2011 prices and how tight the stocks were, maybe closer to that. And at that point, you know, the spread really went out. Or can really go out 20, 30, 40 cents. So right now that's my target. It's just, you know, slow and steady. We'll see what happens. Keep on trailing the stop up as we go. Probably going to have to move that stop again. I'll write about that tomorrow. And Turner's Take market alert. For those of you, those I talked to you on the phone or your clients here, I have no problem getting along September wheat. Don't expect me to put that in Turner's Take newsletter. It's way too risky for the masses, but if you like, if you are comfortable with risk, Our target for a Minneapolis suite was $7. I've been saying that for a while. Now that we're here, we're almost there. Based on the conditions out there, the people we talk to, the forecasts, what the commercials need, in terms of the food services need for product and high protein wheat, would not be surprised to see another 50 cents or a dollar higher. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I wouldn't be surprised if we broke through 7, 750, $8 eventually happened, just based on what we're hearing, how bad the crops are right now, how bad the condition is, and just the amount of high protein that's going to be needed, and we just might not have it, or only have enough high protein for domestic use, which means the price rationing is going to have to pretty much price out all exports. So that's what I'm thinking, what's going on with spring wheat. It's also helping to bring up the Chicago wheat and the Kansas City wheat. You would think the Kansas City wheat would be doing better over Chicago because protein is the story and the Kansas City is the higher protein, but that's hasn't happened yet. That's okay. But that might be something we'll be revisiting too. I haven't really haven't done a lot with that. With that spread lately. That's definitely something we'll be revisiting, the Kansas City versus Chicago. And I think we could see a play again for that Chicago. For that Kansas City. But we'll just have to see. So, just to recap, on Friday we have a USDA report. It is for planting intentions. Or not planting intentions, the actual final planting number. The acreage summaries. We'll see that on Friday. We'll see quarterly stocks on Friday. We'll see the WASDE for the grain markets come on, oh, I think that's July 12th. So that's what's coming. And then, of course, we'll be having the weather. I'd say the only thing I'd really want to add before we wrap it up here is with corn. We have our models, for supply and demand and yields. And the way we see it, we're going to probably, and I've been mentioning this range a lot, like the 350 to 390, 350 to $4 for this new crop corn. The reason I keep on saying that is, for us to really go like into the threes, and make a run much lower and break all the support levels, the yield needs to be 172, 173, which I do for nationally for corn, which I don't think anyone sees happening right now. But to go higher, to get really bullish, to kind of break through that 420 level, that we see on the charts to really push higher, we're gonna have to see a yield probably below 160. And I don't think anyone thinks that's gonna happen either. So when we're running our corn models, the reason why I was talking earlier about the range and the strategies that I was, is just that I just don't see corn being significantly above 170, the trend line, when it's all said and done. And I don't see us below 160 either. Now that could change, but as long as we feel that way, that the national corn yield isn't going to be below 160 and isn't going to beat the trend line, or at least not materially, it's just hard to see us break out of this price range. So we'll keep you updated if we do think that's going to change, but right now we don't. And let's just, I'll, you know what we'll probably do? I was going to planning on doing a podcast on Thursday afternoon. Instead, we're going to do one Friday afternoon after the grain markets close. So we can talk about the big USDA reports. All right. Good luck, everyone. Keep your eyes open for Turner's Take Market Alert and for the specs out there for the farmers. Turner's Take Ag Marketing is also going to have some updates heading into that report too, just about some things we'll be looking at for marketing purposes. So have a great one. Thanks for listening. Hey, feel free to pass this along to anyone you think might like it. Turner's Take Podcast is free. And we love to have as many listeners as possible. Thanks very much, and good luck.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniel's trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniel's Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation termination or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore, investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniel's Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniel's Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.